strongly through so many different stories in the Bible. And I would almost suggest it's actually kind of in the fabric of the Bible itself, this theme of trust and obedience. And why has this been so significant for me? Well, God's actually been taking me on a bit of a journey over the last couple of years. And this is kind of one of the things that has really stood out for me. And, you know, I want my life to be a fruitful life. I want to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. I want to get to the end of my days and stand before God and say, look, God, I've been able to do this with you. And I want to look back and say, man, there were so many missed opportunities. And God has just kind of been pouring into me this idea of trust and obedience, because I feel like it is key for us if we want to live a fruitful life for the Lord. If we need to grasp this idea. And this is something God has been dealing with me, and I feel like this message tonight is a bit of a summation, really, of the journey that God has taken me on over the last couple of years. And I really hope that there's something in here for all of you guys. Because God is looking for people that don't just believe that he exists, but are actually willing to trust and be obedient to him. There are people throughout the story of Scripture that did this very, very well, and some people who didn't do it so well. And I think the Bible just goes to show us what the effect of this is, where the people who were able to follow God, they were able to be obedient. They lived very fruitful lives, not easy lives, but fruitful lives. And those who struggled to follow God, those who struggled to be obedient, well, things just didn't quite work out for them. And so I've titled this message, Walking with the Father and Learning to Follow Him, because this is actually a journey. This is not just something we wake up and we're like, oh, I trust God. Easy. Cool. This is actually something that we have to learn. And it is a journey that God takes us on. He's not just going to throw us in the deep end before we're ready. He's actually going to build us up. But we've got to be obedient and look for those signs and those ways that he's actually trying to build us up, that we don't miss them. And so tonight what I want to do is I'm going to look at Israel's story and through the Exodus. And it's a very, very interesting story, and I'll take you through it, what happened. But there's so many key things that I think we can pull out of this story that really give us some actually really good warnings about what the consequences of not following God are and not being obedient to him. So we'll journey with that together tonight. So, for those of you who aren't so familiar with the story of Israel, Israel began as one person, actually, and his name was Abraham. And through a whole series of events, his people ended up in the land of Egypt. And they settled there, and they grew, and they multiplied into quite a vast people group. And after 400 years, things had kind of gone really bad. The emperor of Egypt at the time, he had enslaved the whole people group. They were living in slavery, they were living in hardship, and quite often they were crying out to God and going, God, why are we here? Why has this happened to us? God, save us. God, rescue us. And God hears their cry, and he sends someone to come and rescue them out of that place, and he sends Moses, and he raises up this man who is able to come and stand before Pharaoh and say, God, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no. Not a good move. And so what Moses then does is, with God, he unveils these 10 great plagues on the nation of Egypt, and God demonstrates his power and shows his authority over the king of Egypt and eventually delivers the people out of their slavery, and to the point where Pharaoh says, all right, you guys can go. Get out of here. We don't want you anymore. And so the people leave. And it's estimated that it was probably about 1 million people who left Egypt that day, which is, you know, better part of 2/3 of Auckland, just walking out. And so God had promised them, I'm going to take you to a new land. I've got a land prepared for you, a land flowing with milk and honey. And I want to take you there, and I want to give you this land. But the interesting thing is, rather than taking them straight there, he actually takes them on a detour, and it's almost not even a detour, because they actually go the opposite direction to the promised land to start off with. God doesn't lead them up, which is actually the shortest route. He leads them along and down and to what's called the Sinai Peninsula. And there's a very significant reason I think God's doing this, because the people weren't ready to go into Israel just yet. and weren't quite equipped, and we'll come to that. But the reason that he led them into the wilderness was to develop them into a people group. You see, these people, they'd grown up as slaves. All they knew was slavery. They didn't know how to be a nation. Their identity was something that had formed out of Egypt. And God needed to give them a new identity. He needed to show them who they were so that they could then be the people that go up, because God wanted this nation to be his representatives. They weren't just any ordinary nation. This was a nation that God had handpicked because he wanted to reveal himself to the nations of the world through them. And so they needed to know who they were. And so he takes them into the wilderness, and then he prepares them as a people. They need laws, they need worship structures, they need leadership structures. And all of this is God's reasoning for taking them into the wilderness, to set all this stuff up so that when they finally get to go to the promised land, they're actually ready for it and they're ready to be a nation. And most importantly, they actually needed to learn the ways of God, because most of them hadn't really had much experience of who God is. They knew God of Abraham, this God who had come and spoken to him. That was all they really knew of him. But they knew that he was a God that heard them because they kept crying out to him. But that was all they really knew. And they actually needed to know who God was as well, so that they could actually be his representatives. And so throughout their time in the wilderness, God takes them to the mountain of Sinai, and he gives them these laws. Most of you have heard of them, the Ten Commandments. And he also gives them many, many other laws as well. But this is all about people formation. This is about nation identity. He's trying to teach them to be a people. But this wasn't actually an easy journey for them, because I don't know if you know anything about the desert, but there's not a lot out there. It's pretty dry. It's pretty barren. There's not a lot of water. There's no food. I've actually had the privilege of going through the Sinai Peninsula myself, and there is nothing there. It is literally just dry mountains. And so the first thing that the people kind of run into is, well, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? This is kind of like basic survival stuff, God. Like, you know, what are we going to do? And you know, it's not long before the people start complaining to God. And God, through his grace, he provides for them. He sends what's called manna, which is food on the ground. He sends wild birds so that they could eat them. He sends water out of rocks. He actually provides all this for them. Also, in their journey, they came up against adversaries, and God protected them from them. He gave them victory. All this, again, just going in to show, hey, guys, you can trust me. I'm your God. I'm going to look after you. Will you be obedient to me when I lead you up? Israel was still an occupied land at this point. There were, as it describes in Deuteronomy, it says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land that you are entering to take possession of it and clears away many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations more numerous and more mighty than you. The odds on paper were against them. Kind of like the odds for the All Blacks to win were against the Lions. Kind of like the odds were against Team New Zealand. You know, they were versing teams far more money than them, far more, I wouldn't use talent, but I think just more resources than them. You know, they had to know who they were. They had to know what they had, what their strengths were, and work to their strengths. And Israel's strength was the Lord. And they needed to know who the Lord was. Because the only way that they were ever going to be able to take the land was if they trusted in God. Because on paper, they were the underdogs. And so this journey through the wilderness was God's preparation for them to learn to trust him. And God didn't throw his people into the midst of battle unprepared, but he was seeking to make them ready. The thing was, the people kept grumbling. They kept wondering, where is our next meal going to come from? And so the whole way up to Israel, the people are complaining. And they go round and round in circles, and they get to the bottom of the promised land, and God says, all right, actually, you're not going to go in. It says in Numbers, none of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not obeyed my voice. God said, you aren't going in. And so I want to look at some of the things that I suggest went wrong for Israel on their journey up. And I think there's some things that we can really learn from here. And the first is they tested God. And in this passage it says, they've put me to the test these 10 times and have not obeyed my voice. And I want you to think, well, what does it mean to test God? And I would ask, has your mum ever said to you, "You're testing my patience, young man"? And, has anyone heard that? Yes, yeah, a few of you. Bethany. So this is, I suggest, what it is like with God. He's like, God is actually seeking to look after us. He's given us these ways that he's asked us, all right, live this way. This is the right way to live. And the Israelites, they were like, let's just try push the rules a little bit. And so they went off and did things that God had told them directly not to do. And God says, you're testing me. You're testing my patience. I've told you what will happen if you guys refuse to follow my ways. And so they were testing God by saying, we think we can get away with this. And God says, no, that's not obedience. Obedience is doing what I say. And so they grumbled about food and water. They built an idol and started worshipping that idol. And they actually refused themselves initially to go into the promised land and say, well, look, those nations are huge. We're going to get smashed. If we go in, we're going to get owned. And so God says, all right, you obviously don't trust me. The other thing that I think, the people were forgetful. It was like they had amnesia or something. God had led them out of Israel. He'd done all these amazing signs and wonders, and they forgot it for some reason. And as soon as the next hard thing came along, they started grumbling again. They started complaining to God and saying, why have you brought us out of Egypt? Why are you doing this to us? And God's like, have you not seen what I've just done before? Have you not seen these amazing works that I've done? And you're complaining about this? It says in Psalm 78, they did not remember his power or the day when he redeemed them from their foe, when he performed signs in Egypt and the marvels in the fields of Zoan. When they forgot what God had done in the past, they lost the ability to trust God for the same things in the future. And then, lastly, they fully didn't learn to trust God at all through all these experiences. And it says further on in Psalms 78, it says, yet they sinned still more against him, rebelling against the Most High in the desert. They tested God in their heart by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, can God spread a table in the wilderness? He struck the rocks so water gushed out and streams overflowed. Can he also give bread or provide meat for his people? They did not obey God. They didn't trust him. So the funny thing was, they just kept going round and round in circles. You see, God gave them food. He gave them water. And then the next time they were running low on water, they started complaining again. Where's our water going to come from? It's like, all right, guys. But what I think, you look at this story, and it can be easy to look at the Israelites and be like, well, if I was in their situation, I would have trusted God. I would have trusted that he was going to provide everything that we needed. And it's really easy to say that when you see the whole picture, when you see the start, the middle, and the end. But when you're in the midst of it, it's actually very, very hard. And I think we have to put ourselves in the shoes of Israel. And I know when I do, I think I'd probably find myself to be quite indifferent to them. I think I would probably struggle myself to believe. Because imagine, you're walking through the desert. It's hot. You're sweating. You're starting to get thirsty. You're like, cool. No, we're trusting God. We've just seen these amazing works. Keep going. We'll keep going. A couple of hours pass. I'm really getting thirsty. Starting to get hungry too. Keep going. All right, no, we're trusting God. Dinner time's coming. Gosh, God, where's our meal going to come from? Guys, did you remember, we had McDonald's back in Egypt? It was awesome. We've got nothing now. What are we going to eat? I kind of wonder, if I was in their position, I think I'd probably do the same. And so I don't like to throw a hard hand at them because I think, you know, the journey that they were on was a challenging one. God believed that they could do it, but it was still a challenging journey. And so with that story of Israel, I kind of came to think, well, what are some better stories in Scripture of people who have actually been obedient to God and really demonstrate this principle of trust and obedience? And there's three that came to mind immediately, and that were Joseph, Daniel, and Jesus. And maybe just to share a little bit about Joseph's story, because I think this is quite powerful, actually. Joseph was a man, he had a whole lot of brothers, and God gave him some revelations quite early on in his life about some significant things that would take place later in his life. And he shared that to his brothers, and his brothers weren't so keen on that, so much so that they sold him into slavery. And Joseph went down to Egypt. Not such a great start. And I could imagine at that point, Joseph would be like, well, this kind of wasn't in the plan. And so he gets to Egypt, and he's a slave. And he works really hard. He's put into this house under a man named Potiphar, and he serves as a slave to Potiphar. But he works incredibly hard and incredibly diligently, and Potiphar recognizes this in him and says, you're actually a trustworthy man. I want you to be in charge of my whole house. All my possessions are yours. The only thing you can't have is my wife. And as the story goes, his wife, Potiphar's wife, kind of gets a bit attractive to Joseph. He's a good-looking man, nice rippling muscles. And she comes and she wants to sleep with him. And he's like, not going to happen. And she gets a bit angry at this and sets a trap for Joseph. And Joseph, unfortunately, gets caught up in this trap, and though it wasn't his intention. And when Potiphar finds out about this, he has Joseph thrown into jail. And now Joseph's gone from, you know, being his father's favorite son to being a slave to a man, but, you know, still doing all right in this house, to the lowest of the low. He's now in prison. And I can sure imagine that he would have been struggling at that point, going, oh, God, like, this really wasn't part of the plan. But I think the amazing thing about Joseph is he just keeps going. He doesn't stop, no matter what position that he finds himself in. He says, no, I'm going to trust God. And so he uses what he has, and he earns favor with the guards. He gets to the point where he's privileged enough to be led around the prison to go help other prisoners. He gets to share with them. And he's constantly being recognized just for his diligence and his trustworthiness. And as the story goes, Joseph eventually gets let out of prison because he's called up by Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And he said, because Joseph was able to interpret these dreams that Pharaoh had. And when Joseph interpreted these dreams, Pharaoh recognized that this was a man that he could trust. And so he put Joseph in charge, second in charge of the whole of Egypt. That's quite a position change, you know, prison to second in charge of country. And it was all because he could recognize that this was a trustworthy man. I think Joseph just demonstrated that in whatever position in life he was in. He just showed that he could be trustworthy and obedient. And the same goes with some of these other guys, Daniel and Jesus and David and so many other stories in the Bible. They go through so many different seasons, but they prove themselves to be faithful in each season. And when God sees their faithfulness, he knows that they're trustworthy for something more. These guys, they're put into positions where they have to choose. Are they going to trust God, or are they going to trust something else and complain and grumble against God? And so some of the lessons that I think we can kind of learn from all these experiences is, the first one is learned obedience. It's a journey, as I was saying earlier, that we're actually being taught how to trust God. It's not just something that we grasp straight away. But I think it's important just to take a moment here and say, what does it actually mean to trust God? Because it's easy to say, oh, yep, I trust God, but how do we actually live that out? I would suggest that we show our trust, or we show that we trust God when we are being obedient to his word and the things that he said. And so this can be simple things. Like, you know, God's put several commandments in the Bible about how to live. He says, do not murder, do not steal, do not lie. And even goes to say things, you know, do not get drunk, do not have sex before marriage. Love people. Love Jesus. These are all commandments in the Bible. And I would suggest that, you know, by living these out, we're actually showing our obedience and our trust for God, because we believe that he's a higher power, that these things he's asked us not to do, there's a reason for that. And so we don't do them, even though we might not know the reason, but we still don't do it because we trust that his way is better. We trust him by doing things that he asks us to do. And I know in all of our lives there are going to be times where God asks us to step out, to be obedient, to maybe do something that isn't so comfortable for you. And that can be hard at times, but we show that we trust God when we're actually willing to step out and say, no, despite the fact that I feel like I can't do this, I'm going to trust God and I'm going to step out and I'm going to do that. And we show that, yeah, we want to be obedient to God. And I would also suggest that going to God and asking for help is also trust. So this is the interesting thing about Israel, is they never actually went to God and asked for help. They just grumbled. They just said, where's our food? Where's our water? They never actually just went to God and said, God, you've brought us out of Egypt. It feels like, you know, we're not going to survive too much longer if we don't get some water, but we trust you. We trust that you had a plan, you had a reason for bringing us out. We're not just out here to die. We're in a position of complete helplessness, and God, we're totally dependent on you. Would you provide for us? I never did that. I just grumbled. And God got tired. He got tested, and he, to the point where he said, no, you're not going into the promised land. And so, yeah, there's so many things that we can learn from that story of the Israelites as they journeyed. But obedience requires trust, because if we don't trust God and that his ways are better, then why do it? Trust is required because the result of trusting God is not always immediate. We don't always see the fruit of what we're trusting for straight away, which is why we actually have to trust God. That as we endure, as we continue to trust, that we will see these things come to pass. The second lesson, and I think we can learn from the story, is this all confirms God's character. And some of you might have been here a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about the goodness of God. And I'd suggest that, you know, we see God's goodness when we see him move in the areas that we've trusted him for, when we stepped out, when we were obedient, and when we see him come through. That's going to confirm his character to us. We're going to see that, hey, actually God is good. He was faithful. He did what I asked him to do, or what he asked me to do. He came through on that. And the cool thing about that is it gives us a story. It gives us a story that we can share to others and say, God was faithful. It was actually funny. I was away a couple of weeks ago, and I got talking to this man, and conversation went along, and he found out that I was a Christian, and he got so excited. I was like a little bit taken back by this guy. I was like, oh my gosh, started shaking my hand. He was like, this is so good. This is so good. Let me tell you about God. He is so faithful. He is so faithful. This is what he's done in my life. And he wouldn't stop. It just went on. I was like, okay, cool. This is great. But I went away from that. I was like, man, this guy has just seen the faithfulness of God and he's so excited to share about it. And I really hope that, at least for myself, that, you know, when I get a bit older and I've got some more stories under my belt, that, you know, I can share those stories with other people so that it can be an encouragement to them, so that they too can have that chance to trust God and see him come through in their own lives and in their own journeys. The next thing that I think we can learn from the story of Israel is it prepares us for the next season. And what I mean by that is God is wanting us to grow. So why do we need to trust God more? Because the next season might require us to trust God more. And so God is constantly trying to prepare us, just like he didn't throw the Israelites straight into the promised land where there were nations that they were probably going to get smashed by if they didn't trust God. And so he wants to prepare us. It was why God took them through the wilderness to get them ready. But there was a purpose to that. He was trying to prepare them. And I would suggest the same can be for us in the seasons that we go through. God is trying to prepare us for the next season. He's trying to build us up so that when the next thing comes, we're ready for it, that we're ready and able to trust God in that next season. God has bigger plans for all of us, but to be successful in them, we need to learn to trust him more. And I wonder as well whether God actually holds back things back from us because we don't show ourselves to be trustworthy. I wonder whether we don't actually ever get to that promised land because we keep going round and round in circles, still complaining about water. And then I think the last lesson that we can really learn is just remember God's faithfulness in the past. Israel kept complaining about water. God gave them water every single time, but they still complained. And I think, you know, we've got to remember what God has done in our own lives, and we've got to hold on to that. How small it might seem, we still have to hold on to that because God has been faithful. Each and every one of you will have a story of how God has been faithful in some way in your life, and you need to remember that because there will be times when it feels hard, and you've got to remember that God is going to be faithful and bring you through into the next season. People went through, and all these stories, though, that I've shared, the people went through pretty extreme circumstances. Like, most of us here aren't lost in the desert. Most of us here haven't been thrown into prison, I don't think. I might be wrong. But, you know, most of us haven't gone through that, and it might seem like our lives aren't really comparable to the lives of people like Joseph and Daniel. But what I want to suggest to us is that it's important to keep in mind that we remember the lane that God has put us in. And what I mean by that is we all live in different situations and seasons, and that is the place that God has called us to be obedient. So for me, my lane at the moment is I work. I work as an engineer for a company, and I design medical devices. I'm a member of Hillsborough Church. I'm a friend to quite a number of people, and God has called me to be faithful in that. He's given these things to me. He says, all right, I want you to be faithful. I want you to learn to trust me in this season. And I don't know what the next seasons have, and this is something that God keeps challenging me about. He says, you got to learn to trust me now because there are still things to come, and you need to learn how to trust me before you're ready for those. So I want us to really consider, you know, this is more about the lane that we're in, and we have to actually sit down and go, well, what is it that actually I need to be obedient about? Maybe it is things that God has commanded us not to do, like drinking or other things, but maybe there are things that God has actually asked you to do and you still haven't done them. And I would suggest tonight, think very carefully that, you know, we are actually continuing to progress and be obedient. And so why do we need to do this? Because God wants us to be mature Christians. He doesn't just want us sitting in our infancy, unable to feed ourselves. He actually wants us to grow up. And part of growing up is that we actually have to learn to trust God. And so as we learn to be faithful in one season, we're being made mature in our faith and we're being prepared for the next season. And the other thing I would suggest is that God also wants to see if our faith is genuine, if we actually do believe in God like we claim to. And it says in 1 Peter, it says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, you test gold with fire to test out its purity, to see how pure that gold is. But gold is still something that's going to perish. Ultimately, it's not going to last. What God's saying here is your faith is going to last, and that's way more valuable, and so I'm testing that. I want to see the genuineness of your faith. And I would suggest that it's actually a two-way street with God. God wants us to learn to trust him, but in turn, he's also wanting to know if he can trust us. God never promised us that life would be without its hardships, but he did promise to always be with us. He wants us to learn to trust him and be obedient in every season. God, I don't believe, is going to put us in situations that he knows we're not equipped to deal with. And so if we don't learn to be obedient in this season, I don't think he's going to allow us to progress into the next. Or if we do, we might find that next season a whole lot harder than it needed to be. And the reason why I'm really wanting to share this tonight is because I really feel like this is key. I feel like this is key for living a fruitful life for God, that we learn this. And I really do believe that God is raising up a generation at the moment that can trust God. that can go out and be the ones that say, we believe in the promises of God, and we're going to go share that with the world. Because there's a world that still needs to hear about God, and it's going to take a group of people who know who God is and are obedient to him to go and follow that great commission that Jesus left us with, to go and baptize all nations of the world. And before I kind of come to the end, I know we're kind of going a bit longer tonight. I just want to speak to those as well who are probably listening here and going, well, I have been trusting God, and I still haven't seen him come through. I have been holding on for so long, and I still just don't feel like he's coming through. And there's no easy answer to that. And as I was thinking about what to say to people who are in that place, I would just say, well done. Well done for persevering. God is faithful. I would stand with you tonight and say, well, let's just keep hanging on. But I would also challenge you and don't fall into the trap that the Israelites fell in, where they grumbled or took matters into their own hands. But keep taking it back to God. He's cool with us questioning. He's cool with us going, hey, God, you've promised us, but I haven't seen it. What's going on? He can handle that, but let's just not grumble. Let's not say God isn't faithful, because he is. And let's hang on to that. And maybe just as the worship team come up now, I just want to leave us kind of with this thought that God knows what he's doing. And this is something that we can hopefully take refuge in. So Psalm 78, it was this brutal psalm actually, and I really wanted to read the whole thing, but it's quite a long psalm. But it actually talks very deeply about the journey of Israel as they went through the Exodus, as God led them through the wilderness. And I would highly encourage you, if you want to do an extra for experts thing, go home and read Psalm 78 tonight. It's quite a hard psalm to read, but what it really challenges you is the lessons that can be learned from Israel's story. And it's actually, I think it was titled like a challenge to the next generation. It's actually saying this is the lessons that we learned from Israel's past so that we don't have to make them in the future. But the beautiful thing about this psalm is it finishes with this one verse, and it says, with an upright heart he shepherded them and guided them with a skillful hand. God knows what he's doing. He wasn't playing games with Israel. He doesn't play games with our lives. He knows what he's doing. And so if we can take heed tonight, and I know it's going to take faith to believe that, but if we can take heed tonight and just trust that God knows what he's doing, then I think we'll have a whole lot more peace in actually learning to trust God. So tonight, you guys can start playing if you want. I just want you all to just take that time just to think, what season are you in at the moment? What lane is your life in? What is the place that God has put you? And what are the ways that you could be obedient to God in this season? There might already be things in your life that you know God has challenged you with, and he wants you to be obedient with them. How can you continue to be obedient to that? Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're saying, well, I have been obedient. I have been trusting God, and he still hasn't come through. But maybe tonight is just that chance to reconfess to God that you trust him still, and that you're still willing to believe that he's going to come through in the future. And maybe even ask him, what are the things that I can do now, God, to help me get through this season, to help me continue to trust you? But I don't want us to just pass this moment away. I really want us to sit and ponder this, because it is so crucial. It is so crucial that we learn this. I want this to be a church of mature Christians, people who have learned obedience through their lives. And so I would challenge us tonight, just get serious with God. Let him speak to you. Let him show you the areas that he's wanting to challenge you with. And I really do pray, and I will pray, that actually God would just strengthen us tonight. He would strengthen our resilience to follow God. So I'll just pray. God, I want to thank you for your faithfulness in my own journey and where you've brought me to at this point, God. And you've shown yourself to be worth it. You've shown yourself to be trustworthy. And God, I know you are wanting a people. You are looking for people who will be obedient to you because they're the people that are going to kind of carry your name into this world. They're the ones who are going to be your bearers, Lord Jesus. And I just pray for us all tonight, God, that you would teach us to trust you, that you would help us to grow deeper, God. And even when we think it's not worth it, God, would you just give us that resilience? God, would you bring to mind the ways that you've been faithful in the past? And may we remember that tonight as we look towards the future. And God, we just thank you that you know what you're doing. We thank you that your hand will shepherd us. You will guide us. And you're not playing games with us, God. And we want to lay it before you, God. We want to learn to trust you. And I pray, God, would you just speak to us tonight in your name.